I don't think this has ever happened before. This is a very special day.
Mm.
Today is a day that I can actually talk sports and hold my own. Really? Not even hold my own. I believe today is the day that I could run circles around you.
Really?
If we talk sports. You want to talk some sports?
Sure, anytime.
Yeah, today is the day.
Okay.
You're ready to be humiliated with your absence of knowledge.
I welcome the humiliation.
Okay, well, I am proud to be the humiliator in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
From the frozen tundra, or something like that. For the very first time, Glenn Beck runs circles around Stu Brigier, a Canadian sports legend.
That's true. That part is true. I'm not Canadian, but I am a sports legend in Canada, to be clear. For fact checkers out there, I don't want media matters all over me.
Should we talk about the Browns? Let's talk about the Browns. In fact, yeah. let's talk about Beckham and the Browns.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, his full name.
Odell Beckham.
Junior, yes.
Mm-hmm. Junior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I didn't think I needed to say that.
His nickname, of course.
I'm not going to get into all of those.
Okay.
Let's talk the facts here.
Sure. Why are you reading?
What?
No, I'm just curious why you're reading in the middle of the I know sports so well I'm going to run circles around.
Well, I just have a couple of notes here.
Oh, okay.
For instance, what was he wearing, Stu, when he took the field?
You are cut it out. Oh, yeah. No.
Yes.
I'm in trouble.
You're in trouble. I am going to run circles around you.
This is the one
sports
time.
Sports talk.
Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr., of course,
yeah.
Wide receiver, Cleveland Browns, was a little controversy around him as he was wearing a very expensive watch.
Yes.
On the field.
Yes.
And now Glenn is going to run circles around me with watch talk.
Yes.
Is what I'm,
yes.
Is what I'm,
yes,
predicting.
Well, have you heard what? Okay, so last week,
uh-huh,
you know that he wore a Richard Mille watch, which was about $250,000.
Yeah, I had heard $350,000.
May have been $350,000.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Okay. This week, he wore another Richard Mille watch. Now, these watches are absolutely phenomenal. They are tourbillons, which is they're so crazy, they're not even needed anymore, okay?
Okay.
They were made originally for pocket watches. Because a pocket watch, the center of gravity would always be at 6. You'd put it in your pocket,
mm-hmm,
and it would sit that way, and you'd pull it out, and the 6 would be, you know, going down to Earth, so the gravity.
Right.
Okay, so a tourbillon had to make sure that it was, you could rotate it any way that you wanted, and it made the gravity thing go away.
So the inner workings of the watch are particularly rare.
Particularly expensive and rare,
mm-hmm,
okay? And it makes it so it is the most accurate timepiece, okay?
Okay.
It keeps that, it's the machinery in it, if you will, it's in a cage and it swivels no matter how you move it, all right?
Mm.
So it's crazy.
Seems amazing.
And they usually start at about $150,000. What he wore was this yesterday or the day before.
Last night.
Last night. Mm-hmm. What he wore on the field last night was a $2.2 million watch.
What?
$2.2 million. It is a Richard Mille 5602. It is a tourbillon. It is completely transparent. Now, his watches are known to be, I believe they may all be made out of carbon. They are, you can't even feel them on your wrist. They are so incredibly light, but they're big. This one is made out of a solid piece of sapphire that they have to hollow out. They hollow it out. It takes them 450 hours to hollow out the sapphire. It's all glass. Then they take another 350 hours to polish it perfectly clear. Then they take a 0.3 millimeter cable, like a cable on a bridge.
Right.
They take this cable and they attach it at the 12, the 9, the 3, and the 6 position, and they suspend the gear inside the watch. So it's floating inside the watch. Okay?
This is a lot of work to get the time.
This is a lot of work.
My phone just, it's on there all the time.
Gives you the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything different but tell you the time.
Right.
Okay? It is the hardest surface ever. It's, they say it's impossible to scratch unless you're using a diamond cutter. Okay? So that's what he took. There's only, by the way, there's a total of 10 of these that were made.
10 in the world?
In the world.
And he's wearing one in the middle of a football game.
10.
Unbelievable.
My guess is he's not buying these. My guess is he doesn't own those.
Oh, really?
That's my guess. I could be wrong.
Ah, so it's like a marketing thing? Like they're paying him to wear them.
Yes. Richard Mille is a big sports fan. He's a big auto racing fan. And so he likes his watch being seen in sports. He gives them sometimes to elite tennis players in exchange for advertising. I think this is an advertising campaign that Beckham is doing.
And they're obviously, all they have to do is pay him more than the fines, right? I mean, for it to be smart for him to do it.
Oh, do you have a fine if you're wearing?
You're not supposed to be wearing. Wait. This is your sports segment where you know everything about sports. Remember, why were you asking me?
I was asking you rhetorically.
Oh, okay. Yes, there's a fine. You're not supposed to be wearing foreign hard objects during the game, which could be wind up being an issue.
So why is he getting away with this without being fined?
I've
never seen anybody wear a watch.
Especially one like the first one he was wearing was huge. I mean, it was like noticeably
They're very hard, but they are very light. I mean, it would not throw you off at all. That's the one thing about these watches. You don't even know you're wearing it. I've seen them one time. I've been to a store that carried them and I said, I got to try it on. And the guy was like, "Okay, don't let anybody see this." And I tried it on, and it's an amazing feeling watch because it looks so big, and yet it's so heavy.
Right.
I mean, it's so light that it's phenomenal. So it wouldn't affect him playing at all. But I wouldn't be wearing it out there. But I think I think Richard Mille would want it out there because
everyone's talking about his watch now. Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they fined him yet. They are. They're saying as of right now, he's not being fined. We'll see if he continues to push it, how long that works.
So he can't wear anything for advertising. If he was given these watches, would that be advertising?
I mean, it's not advertising if it's a watch, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the fact that you're talking about it, right, it's a guerrilla campaign, right? So I don't think it would necessarily fall under that unless there was an obvious arrangement that came to light.
Yeah. I think it's...
Somebody's got to figure it out, though.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. Unless he purchased them, then you're just dumb as a box of rocks for wearing it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I got a $2.5 million watch on my arm.
A 300-pound guy's about to stick his helmet onto your $2 million watch.
Except it does say something. This is why this one really stuck out to me. Because why would you wear a glass watch? Well, if it's the sapphire that took 1,000 hours just to make the sapphire, 1,000 hours just to make the sapphire. And it's the hardest surface, they say, in the world. That's what better than having, you know, a 350-pound monster come after you and not hurt the watch or scratch it.
It's a good commercial.
It's a great commercial. All right. Sorry
That's
to make you feel stupid.
Talk. Yeah. No, you definitely... Yeah. I would have not have known any of those things if
Pretty
not for
amazing.
The segment.
I mean, I hear people talk about it all the time. They're like, well, did you see this watch? No. Look those watches up. I'm a fan of the watch world.
You didn't want to talk about his 89-yard touchdown catch?
Maybe we'll do that next time.
Oh,
we're
going to
leave it here. Right. Mm-hmm. Put it down on the field and we'll pick it up later. What?
There is speculation from blue checkmark sources, Darren Ravello, this one. They are reporting a watch media site which I know you probably are big, big
what's,
fan
what's
of.
What's what Watch Watch Media site?
I mean, you're going to be. I don't know necessarily all the Watch Media sites out there,
but do they quote which one?
Watch Anish, Original Luxury Watch Menswear Media, based in London.
Don't know it.
Anyway, they've got. They are reporting this now. I don't know. I can't tell. They've got like pictures, and I'll send you the link. But they are saying that it is just a cheap fake, not a real $2 million watch. Now that would actually make me think he's smarter, because the fact that you have one giant contract, which he has, I mean, he got a $95 million contract, does not mean you should be buying $2 million watches. There's a certain amount of wealth you need to be buying a $2 million watch, and it's not $95 million contract, which. All of it's not guaranteed, plus you're paying taxes on it. That is not a good investment.
I didn't think there was any way that he bought that watch, or at least didn't get a deep, 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 deep discount.
Right.
Maybe he bought the first one,
mm-hmm.
and then after the reaction, I thought maybe the watch company called and said, hey, you want to wear this one?
Possibly, but like you see this happen at like the Grammys, right? Like some
correct
the new actress of the the hot new actress will have the ridiculous million dollar
Van Cleef and Arpels kind of stuff,
and it's not like they actually own that or wear it. But that is at least the accusation now online, which I guess at the end of the day, I really did know more about this topic than you. So
no, you know speculation from some blue check mark that you can't even pronounce.
I can't. I don't know exactly. But I'm trying to pass on the important facts. It's funny because there's a lot more that we have on this than the media has on Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
We
have more facts.
We have more facts on this, and we're just
hypothesizing about a watch. This Kavanaugh story is so unbelievably reprehensible. I mean, how do they... Donald Trump is right on this. People should lose their job on this. Now, I don't like the fact that the president is saying that, but if the New York Times wanted to have any credibility, they would fire people over this.
Yeah, again, they're saying... We may get into a blame game here, because the authors of the book are saying the Times did it to them. We hit that clip again. Can we play that one more time? This is from Lawrence O'Donnell's show
on
last night.
MSNBC last night.
In your draft of the article, did it include those words that have since been added to the article?
It did.
So somewhere in the editing process, those words were
trapped. Yeah, I mean, I think what happened actually was that, we had her name, and the Times doesn't usually include the name of a victim. And so I think in this case, the editors felt like maybe it was probably better to remove it.
That is an olive leaf.
And in removing her
name,
that
is an olive branch.
They removed the other reference to the fact that she didn't remember.
Okay, so what she's saying here, let me translate bullcrap into English. What she's saying here is, yeah, we were a little shocked, too, that the New York Times took that out. But to soften the blow for the New York Times, we're going to come up with this implausible reason of why they did it, because it was really best of intent. We're not saying in any way, shape, or form that this was a hit job.
Right.
We want to make sure that the Times knows we love them, and we'll back them up on anything they're going to say is the excuse.
Yeah, the idea being that they mentioned her name twice, so they just took out both sentences with the name. And the other sentence was the one where she said, I don't really remember it. Seemingly an important piece of context in a story about an unproven accusation.
Right.
It's
not like Ethel, 58.
Yeah,
you can take that out.
Yes, you can take that out. People could do their own calculation
on
the age.
Right.
To say that the person who was supposedly the victim of this horrible thing has no recollection of the thing occurring.
Kind of an important thing.
Kind of an important detail.
Yeah.
And, what we talked about last hour with John is...
even more important.
Right? So can you want to walk people through this? Because this is an important one. I have not heard this anywhere else.
This story came from a guy who went to school with Brett Kavanaugh at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's all you know. Well, this story came from a guy who went to school with him. Well, it's a little deeper than that. The New York Times says he's a thought leader in Washington. Well, he's a little bit more than that, too. He was the attorney that was defending Bill Clinton on the Paula Jones case against Ken Starr. Ken Starr's assistant in that case was Brett Kavanaugh.
So picture this for a second. Bill Clinton is being accused of exposing himself to Paula Jones.
Right.
In that case.
Unzipping his pants and exposing himself and saying, I want you to touch this.
Right. In this case, on the prosecution side is Brett Kavanaugh. On the defense side is the guy who's making the accusation.
Correct. Today.
And at no point does this guy bring up, hey, by the way, the attorney on the other side, I saw him expose himself.
And do this exact same thing
at a party
just a few years ago when we were both in Yale.
He doesn't tell anyone on the team. He doesn't he doesn't leak it to the media. Nothing.
Come on. When that thing was going down, they were throwing anything at anybody.
They were destroying lives.
Yes.
But
yes.
They were like, "Oh, I have too much. I don't that horrible assault I witnessed. I didn't want to bring that one up, though."
That is the biggest thing that is deleted from the Times. They didn't bring it up. Nobody's bringing that up. The book's not bringing that up. Come on.
It's hard to believe.
And to have Congress now actually stand there. There is no justice. There is no law. I mean, think of this. The people who stand up and say, I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, are now saying this happened with Brett Kavanaugh and we need to impeach him. Those are the people that are supposedly standing up to defend your constitutional rights. The New York Times deletes important evidence. You don't know anything at all about the guy, the only guy who said, yeah, this is what happened. At the same time, the book that everybody is crying for impeachment, Professor Ford's good friend, her best friend, is in the book saying, I don't believe any of it that she said. I don't believe any of it. And they were practically blackmailing me and strong-arming me, trying to get me to testify that it was true. And I didn't, I wouldn't, and I don't think it's true. And yet you have people standing up now and saying, he's got to be impeached. The people you have placed to protect your rights, to make sure that you are never unjustly accused and dragged through the mud. This is, for the first time, I really truly believe the only way to fix this thing is a complete and total reboot of the system. Jason Buttrill joins us now. Jason is our head researcher and former military intelligence and has been watching Iran for me for the last couple of days. We've been watching it, as you know, if you're a longtime listener of this program. I've been watching Iran since 2001, really, and been watching it intensely since about 2005 or 6, when we started to really understand the 12th Imam and what these Shia believers actually believe about how to bring the end of the world or the new era. We would say bring Jesus back. They would say bring the 12th Imam back. That 12th Imam, if you read their scriptures and our scriptures, we would describe that as the Antichrist. And the way to do that is to cause chaos. So we've been watching Iran, and I've told you before, chaos is the word that you need to look for. Anything that causes chaos or confusion is not from a good source. And anyone who is trying to cause chaos and confusion, and I would put the media and many people in Washington, both parties, I would put a lot of people into people who are enriching themselves on causing confusion and chaos. That is the real problem. We're about to see if we are entering a new phase in the world. Jason is here. You have the latest from the Pentagon that we now have confirmed that the missiles did come from inside Iran.
That's what they have just said as of about 15 minutes ago, is that they have tracked the actual launch locations, and it's in southern Iran. So if that is true, it's going to be extremely hard for the U.S. not to respond to this. I said yesterday that this makes absolutely no sense, and that I probably won't even believe it if they say it came from Iran, because conventional logic says that that's just stupid. That's not how Iran has operated in the past.
Unless
you factor in the ideology of the 12 or Shia.
This is something that the world will pay no attention to, and you must. You do not have to buy into this. I want to make sure that atheists who are listening, and even Christians or Muslims who believe in the supernatural but don't believe in this, it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what the mullahs believe. They are 12ers, and they believe that at the end of the world, before the great change, before Jesus comes back, which they believe Jesus will come back, but he will testify as a prophet to the divinity of Muhammad. The 12ers believe that they can hasten the return of the promised one by causing terrible global bloodshed, that you have to throw the world into chaos, and you must also vaporize the Jew.
You got to look at this in the context of what's going on right now in the next couple of weeks. Why this attack now? Why did it happen? Rouhani has said that he's at least or made, you know, comments that he'd be willing to talk to President Trump. He's talking to
that's the president.
The president.
Right.
He's been talking to Macron, French President Macron. They've been trying hard to get a deal done to bring Iran back into the nuke deal.
Right. And President Trump has said he's willing to meet with him.
Right. And that's going on in a couple weeks. There's a UN meeting where they're all getting together. That's where they're trying to get this done.
Okay.
Now, who you're talking about, the mullahs, the clerical regime.
So you have to understand, this is their supreme council. So their government has a president and a parliament or whatever, all of the stuff that we would recognize from other countries. But up above that is the Supreme Council. They're like God. They speak for God. And they have their own military force. They control everything when they want to. So they can decide to do something and not go through any legal or any political entity at all. They can do whatever they want, and the president doesn't even have to know about it.
The president doesn't have to know about it. Their version of the Secretary of State, Javad Zarif, he's always denying all these things that's going on. And I don't doubt he is denying, because he has no idea. What you talked about, their military arm within the clerical portion, is called the IRGC. And they're the ones that have the Quds Force. They're the ones that are trying to encircle Israel. They're the ones that operate all the militias, like the Houthis in Yemen, like all the other militia, Hezbollah. Soleimani is their commander, and he's the most famous figurehead for them. You see him all the time in the media. They've got a very specific mission, and just like you said, is to eventually encircle Israel, because that is where the end of the world will trigger.
Right. And this makes sense if you're trying to, if your goal is to create bloodshed, chaos, and vaporize the Jew. You don't want this meeting.
Right.
You want that nuke program to be free and encumbered and to go forward. You can lie about it, but if you're close enough, it would make sense. Look, we're close. Just get the thing done and let's use it.
Right.
And go ahead, pick fights, because the more unstable the world, the faster the end will come.
So that's exactly, I did not believe this at first, but then we were talking yesterday and I was like, geopolitical rules are set in stone. And that's why nations usually always act the same regardless of who's in power. But every once in a while, you'll get a Lenin, you'll get a Mao, you'll get a Hitler, or an ideology like the Nazis that completely upends all logic on it. That is what the IRGC is doing right now in Iran. It's very possible this is legit. I'm sure that if it is, we'll probably see satellite imagery coming out probably within the day. If we do, I would not be surprised at all if there is a military strike by the U.S. tonight. Would not
the
doubt
U.S.
it.
Has to, because for the mullahs to want to fight, they have things up their sleeve. They have to have had a global plan. If they're going to actually start to execute, destabilize, and wash the world in blood, then they would have had their allies and operatives know, when we say go, when you see the signal, go, and create all kinds of chaos. If the United States looks like we are going after Iran and the world says it's the Houthis, even the man on the street says it's the Houthis, we lose big time, because the Muslim world will kind of ban against us, on the Shia Muslim world. Do you believe that?
Yes. To a certain extent. I think a lot of the Muslim world there, Shia, specifically the Shia, are getting a little bit sick and tired of what Iran is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that especially their own people. If this would kick off, let's say we attack them, and the people in Iran, it's already a powder keg there. They just hit 50% inflation, which their president promised them that would never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. Food prices are up over 80%. They're still doing demonstrations in the streets. They're ready to kick off. Now, if a military event is triggered by this hardline group, the IRGC and all the mullahs and the Ayatollah, then this fracture is just going to continue to happen. Now, I think that's going to happen anyway through sanctions. Mm-hmm. I think they'll get to that point anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the president right now is restricted under alliances that he's had. They've been building an alliance in the Middle East between the Gulf nations and Israel. It's not signed, but it's just like it's what they're trying to do to counter Iran. The president's operating under that.
I just don't want to play into the mullahs are picking a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to respond. You know, it's. I know we're talking about nukes and we're talking about people dying and, you know, global energy and everything else. But you want it to be on your terms and they're picking a fight. Why punch down? So I'm really hoping that the president is putting us in the back of the bus instead of the front of the bus. I don't want to be driving this. Let Saudi Arabia. Why can't we just let say Saudi Arabia, look, we'll sell you a new airplane if one of yours is shot down. This is your thing. They attacked you, not us. Take it. We'll support you at the UN, but we're not part of it.
Yeah, that would be a significant change from what the past, I don't know, 30 years.
A good change, wouldn't it?
No, yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely a good change. And that would help us kind of disconnect from that area.
Would we get credit for disconnecting?
No, I think we'd get killed for it. We'd get killed for it.
By who?
Pretty much everyone. Because anytime you disrupt that old world order, you know what I'm saying? That what always they call the rules-based. Right.
What would be the targets that we would hit?
I think they would target specifically the sites. I think that's why they're being so vocal about it. They're going to stay away from their oil infrastructure, because that will be Iranians will feel compelled to respond a lot more fiercely. But if you respond directly towards those launch sites, then that's a little bit less than hitting their oil infrastructure. So that's the safer play for them. It's not safe at all, but it's the safest.
What does that do? I mean, I guess that's a response without really making anybody pay for it.
Yeah, and it's an attempt to not only knock out their capabilities, but to deter them from doing it again. So Iran is constantly testing us to see how we'll respond. We didn't respond at all to the drone when they shot down our drone.
Yeah.
We didn't respond at all, really, to when they started taking tankers. So you see how it's escalating.
What will Saudi Arabia want to do? Do they want regime change there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So they feel that destabilizing Iran would work to their advantage?
I mean, it's an age-old battle that's been going on since Babylon and Persia. Really.
I guess it may unite their people. Is that a possibility? That the Saudis are united? Because the Saudis right now...
Serious trouble.
...are in serious trouble, and their people don't have money. Their people are... You know, they're living... They're Paris Hilton getting kicked out of the house for the very first time, and have you go get a job without all this media stuff.
This is what the kingdom's looking at right now. Look how symbolic this attack is, because that's 80% of their income is their oil infrastructure. It's the most vital, most important thing in their country, and Iran just said we can hit that and knock it out whenever we want. The Saudi Arabia is the largest welfare state in the world. The only way they're able to keep their people like under control is because of that welfare state. Knock out the oil revenue, their people will revolt faster than the Iranian people will revolt. They are on the brink in Saudi Arabia.
I warn you that 2020 is going to be a very volatile year. This may be the beginning of it. You destabilize Saudi Arabia and Iran, the entire place is on fire, and I don't mean the Middle East. I mean the entire world goes unstable because Iran will, because they're run by the mullahs, will try to wash the world in blood to hasten the return of the Promised One. That is the thing that the Shias believe. It will wipe out the Sunnis. Every knee shall bow to a Shia leader, the 12th Imam. It will wipe out the Christians, the Jews, and everyone else. Please pray for guidance and pray for peace. Pray for guidance, guidance, guidance. Lord, forgive us and please help us. Thanks, Jason. More on this tomorrow. So, Stu, you're going on vacation. I'm going to go see the Rents.
Yes, I'm going to take the kids, go see the mom. Mm-hmm. Going to be very... Can I tell you this, too? I was talking to my wife last night, and we're going to a beach. Like, it's by the beach. Mm-hmm. The kids aren't going to want to go in the water. She's like, don't let him go in the water. I was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I have to take him in the water. We're going to a beach house. Well, the flesh-eating bacteria.
Oof.
And so... This is now, the media is freaking people out. There's been a couple of people who have caught this swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the facts of this, though. There's 118 mm-hmm. million people who go swimming every mm-hmm. year. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's only 205 cases of flesh-eating bacteria in America. So right now, you're at a very low rate. 90% of those cases come from eating raw oysters. Okay, 90%. If you are unlucky enough to get this, you have over an 85% chance of surviving it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even deadly. It's 0.00002%. And the people who do die from it are almost entirely either elderly or with compromised immune systems. So you are 3,462 times more likely to die falling from your bed than flesh-eating bacteria. But the news is featuring it like crazy.
No, I hear you.
Like it's like walking down the street, you're going to get hit with flesh-eating bacteria.
I hear you. Damn NRA.
The NRA,
man.
What, but...
The NRA, they've been funding this flesh-eating bacteria.
I don't...
And our politicians and our doctors are all being paid to keep quiet and come up with these fake statistics. I hear you.
I
hear you. That's why we've got to take your guns. Mm. And
this seems like a great time to go on vacation, right now.
I think that you're the right guy to do it. You go there, you storm that beach, you get that MRSA or whatever it is, and take away their guns, and you stick it to the NRA.
I guess you really can blame everything on the NRA,
yes,
can't you?
Yes, you can.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.